That God is alive and well in this house. So glad that each of you are alive and well in the house on a brisk Sunday morning. It's wonderful to be in a warm building. Amen. Just expending some energy in worship, warming up, feeling good. Amen. This is going to be a fantastic day. Someone said to me just before the service started, today is going to be a great day. I loved the optimism. I loved the enthusiasm. I loved the even prophetic nature of that statement, just declaring today is going to be one of the best days I've ever lived. Amen. Do you believe that about your own life today? God is great. Father, we thank you for the word that's in this house today. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for leading and directing us. We want to be used of you today. We want to bless your name today. I pray that you would just take the next few moments we have in your word and that you would maximize that. You would build that. You would stretch that in our lives, because we have questions and areas that need specific instruction and help. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is that light to my path and that lamp for my feet. I pray that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We have been in a series last Sunday, beginning the new year, with this fresh air idea. We want to live in fresh air. We want to experience fresh air. We want to find out what God has for our new year, what he wants to do, the ways in which he desires to work. And we know that this is not just another year. We know that God has purposed a thing. We know that God has designed a thing. He's even perfected a thing. And then you and I are tasked with the challenge of walking that thing out, living that out. We want to live life in a fresh way, needing life in all of our lives. Life, big life, exciting life, full and fulfilled life in all of our lives. Last Sunday, we started talking about the choice. The choice. You can catch up on our podcast if you want. If you want to hear week one message, you can go to tcac.life and hear that there. The choice, because literally it is our choice what kind of life we are going to have. And I realize there's a lot of thought surrounding that. There's probably even some argument surrounding that, because we wait on our circumstances to dictate what kind of life we're going to have. We wait on our challenges or our difficulties or the things that are presented to us on a daily basis to decide whether or not we are going to be happy, to decide whether or not we are going to be fulfilled, when really it's not about the circumstances. I know they play a part in our lives. We have to react to them. We have to respond to them. But ultimately, it is our choice what kind of life we are going to have. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 is an anchor verse for this series. And I love this verse because it is so powerful. You'll see it on the screen and follow along. He says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. I think that's interesting. Why would he call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that we make? You know why? It's because heaven and earth have to honor the choice that we make. They have to submit to the choice that we make. Have you ever heard the scripture, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven? Heaven and earth have to witness this choice, because as our choices go, that's how ultimately our circumstances are going to go. So he says, you have this choice between life and death, blessing and curses. And I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Choose life, because this doesn't just affect you. This affects everyone coming after you. If you're a parent in this room, then you know that every choice you make directly affects the lives of your children. If you're a head of household today, you know whatever choice you make regarding the household is going to affect every single person living in your house. If you're single today, if you're one of our college age or even one of our students in the room today, you're making choices right now. Even if you aren't married yet, even if you have no children yet, you're making choices today that will affect your children's lives. You're saying that's a lot of responsibility, Pastor Darrell. It absolutely is. Our choices are an incredible amount of responsibility. So what is it that I am choosing today? What is it that is set before me today? What am I deciding? Well, what we established last week is that we are choosing between fresh air and the doldrums. We're choosing between a fresh wind blowing in our lives, wind powerful enough to propel us and to move us and to advance us, or this doldrum, stagnant place where there is no wind and we just sort of live life in this very tiny circle. We just don't get out much. We don't experience much. Nothing really happens. We just sort of exist and we find some way to survive with much less, much less than we deserve in our lives. And I know this morning we could spend the remainder of our time talking about the reasons why things happen and the reason that there are certain outcomes and things that contribute to the circumstances of our lives, without a doubt. I don't discount any of that. No doubt there are external things, there are other people, there are all kinds of things that go into what is currently happening in our lives. But hear me today, because it's my attitude that plays the biggest part in the choices that I make. So last week we talked about the choices, and this week I want to talk to you about our attitude. What is my attitude toward the things that God wants to do in my life? What is the attitude of our world right now? What thing is prevalent? What things are happening? What goes into the thinking of a society? The attitudes. I think Paul was very specific when he talked to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times." Not just difficult, but the original word there literally means demonic. In the last days, there are going to be demonic times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. I think all of these things we're seeing right now, as excited as we are about a new year, if you watch the news, if you read the news, however you take in your media, if you're watching or listening or reading, you are seeing all of these things happening right before our eyes. He said, people will be ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Let's call that one unholy. People will be ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred, or they will be unholy. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. He said in the last days, Timothy, you need to know that this is going to be the attitude of the world you're living in. That this is going to be the way people think, the way people live, the philosophy of their lives, people who feel entitled, people who feel confident in thinking all of these ways and living these ways. You need to consider this, because these are going to be the things that are driving our attitudes and the way that we think in 2018. So look at these uns. Let's talk about them for just a few moments this morning, because they will help us identify the attitude struggles. First of all, he said people will be ungrateful. They'll be ungrateful. I don't know if that's familiar to you or if you identify with that, but I think it's true that we live in a rather ungrateful society. In fact, I think we get so focused on what we want, which is greed, that we forget what we have. We're driven by what we want. We never stop to say, you know what, let me just take inventory of what I have in my life. Let me take inventory of what I possess right now, currently. I know I've got a list of wants. I know I've got goals. I know I have things I'm trying to do. I know I'm saving over here for this or for that. But let me take a moment, pause, and just see what it is that I have, because I don't want to be ungrateful. The reality is that ungrateful people feel like others owe them something. It is an entitlement culture. And it seems the better off we are getting, the more miserable we are. We drove yesterday afternoon. We're still exploring. And we drove from here over to Athens. And we were looking around Athens a little bit and just enjoying the countryside between here and there. What is it, a 45 or 50 minute drive? And it seemed like every road that we were on, I just keep saying, I don't know what these people do. I don't know where they work. I feel like I'm far from a lot of things. I don't know what they do, but they just live in these big houses and these beautiful estates. And it just seems as though we're better off than we have ever been as a society. We have new phones every time they come out, and new vehicles every time we want one. We have all of these things, but it seems the more that we are getting, the more miserable we are. Somehow in the less, there is more. But in our twisted culture, there is less in the more. Less in the more. Kristen worked just a year or so ago for a family who had an incredible amount of money. Incredible amount of money. Worked in the company that this man owned, and oftentimes that would bleed over into their personal lives, and it was nothing. It was nothing for her to text me and say, I just bought a Ferrari over the phone with an American Express card. That was just a random Tuesday in Kristen's life. I said, enjoy that while you can. Enjoy that. I mean, it was just astounding, the amounts of money that was just blown on nothing. I mean, just cars, houses. They moved into the most expensive piece of real estate that was sold in that calendar year in the city of Houston. Multiple double-digit million-dollar homes, 16,000 or 17,000 square feet. It was massive. All of this, but these people were so miserable. Miserable about everything. Everything was someone else's fault. You would think there would be more. There would be more, but no. There was less in the more. The more they got, the more unhappy they were. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that we have to struggle and fight against and wrestle against in these end times. Then he said they would be unholy. He said nothing would be sacred to them. Nothing. Unholy. It means that we're making choices that pollute our hearts. Making choices that affect the way we connect with God. If we're not careful, we have to keep the holy thing. We have to keep the sacred thing. We have to keep the right thing. That's why I want to guard my Sunday morning. I want to guard this time. I realize people have to work and schedules get flipped upside down and all kinds of things happen. But I want to be in God's house because there's something about coming in and the worship just lifting me up out of all of these attitudes that I've had to fight against and all of these spirits that I've had to face all last week, and began a brand new week in the presence of the Lord. He said, if you're not careful, your attitude will lean toward this unholy thing, because like it or not, we're not born holy. We're not born holy. No, in fact, we're born knowing how to lie. We're born knowing how to cheat. We're born knowing how to mess up and make mistakes. We're bent toward an unholy lifestyle. We have to rein in our mind. We have to rein in our choices. We have to rein in and discipline our flesh in order to live a God-honoring, consecrated life. And even then, it's challenging and it's tough. But he said that's one of the attitudes that you are going to face. We know that God is rich in mercy, but us, we are not so rich in mercy, and so we carry a lot of shame. We carry shame about choices that we've made. We carry shame about mistakes that we've made. We carry shame about things that we did not handle correctly or do the right way. Hear me today. We need to take advantage of God's mercy. For many people in this room, this new calendar year needs to signify the turning of a page in your life. You went from one year to a new year, and you need to see it as a new beginning and as a clean slate, as a blank page, that you don't have to carry the shame of past mistakes and the shame of broken promises into a new year. But you really can live free, because that is what God wants for you. Do you believe that on this Sunday morning? We fight this unholy attitude. And then he said people would be unloving. Unloving. I think in order to know what unloving is, you need to know what loving is. To even have a frame of reference as to what is pure and proper ways to love, you got to understand how this works. Real love is agape love. It is unselfish. It is unconditional. It is a thinking about others kind of love. In fact, Paul further said to Timothy, he said, in the last day, people's regard for one another, you're going to see it wane. You're going to see it go way down in the last days. And it seems though we're hearing more about abuse. Harassment. Is it in the news? Or anybody else hearing this? All of these unloving things are happening. And it leads us to the biggest one of all. He said people would be unforgiving. It's an attitude of the last day. Something that we are fighting, something that we are facing. He said it's unforgiving. Unforgiving. I've dealt with this subject recently. I took a couple of Sundays in December and talked about the snow globe and that dreamy, wow kind of life that I'm not in prison by how I feel about anyone else and I'm forgiving and I'm not allowing myself to be bitter because of anything that anyone has ever done to me. It's a very, very important subject, because when I think about things that rob the soul or things that drain the joy out of human beings, this one absolutely leads the way. And if we're in a place emotionally, if we're living in a place where we can't let go of the past and there's been an injury or there has been a wrong, someone has hurt us, we think that we are punishing them by locking them out, and yet we're only hurting ourselves. But it's this cycle that we create, that we live in an unforgiving place. And it honestly creates a burden that I have to carry through life. There may be many good reasons not to forgive, but hear me, every single one of them rob you of fresh air. If you're living in a place of unforgiveness, there is no fresh wind blowing in your life. There is no fresh breeze blowing in your life. There is no fresh air to propel you and to advance you and to push you into the destiny that God has designed for you. And we know that all of these attitudes, all of these uns, if you will, all of them are prevalent in the world today. I may be struggling with one of them or some of them. You may identify with one of those to say, yeah, I think that's me. I think I may be living right there. And guess what? I have a choice. I have a choice, he said, between death or life. I have a choice between religion or relationship, fresh air or the doldrums. It's literally up to me what I'm going to do with the attitude that I am facing. Here's what Jesus said in John 10:10. I love this verse. I love everything about it. He said, the thief, it is a perfect description. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief, we know what the thief is doing. You ought to know this second Sunday of a new year exactly the enemy's plan for your 2018. It is to steal, to kill, or to destroy every good thing in your life. He wants to wreck your year all the way at the beginning. He wants to change your attitude and sour your attitude to the point that you don't expect God things or good things or blessed things in your life. He wants to just completely sour our attitude so that he ultimately is successful stealing and killing and destroying every good thing that God wants to do, keeping us from experiencing the big life that Jesus has for us. Jesus said it doesn't have to happen that way. Doesn't have to be that way. But I hear you saying, all right, you've identified the problem, but how? How do we get out of this? How do we get through this? How do I get out of this rut? How do I get out of this doldrum place where there is no fresh air and there is no wind propelling and moving and advancing my life? How do I do this? This is my hope this entire month. And you don't want to miss a Sunday, because the next two are going to be fantastic. And I really believe that God is going to do something supernatural in this house and ultimately in your life. But we're hoping to inject some fresh air into your day, some fresh air into your week, and ultimately fresh air into your new year. But I got to give you a prescription. Here's the RX. for some good medicine in your life. You ready? Proverbs 17 and 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if a cheerful heart is good medicine and the joy of the Lord is my strength, what kind of medicine is that? It's a spiritual prescription. It's a God prescription. It's an opportunity to get in the presence of the Lord and allow Him to change the way that I think, which will change the way that I live. I don't want to be stuck in the doldrums. I don't want to be stuck in a rut somewhere, just holding on to some bad attitude or some past hurt somewhere. I want fresh air in my life. Yeah, it's all right. I think you want it as well. I think you desire it too. But in order for it to happen, you got to do a couple of things. Number one, you got to make the choice every day. Got to make the choice every day. If you're taking notes today, write this down. Type it into your phone or wherever you like to keep your notes, because you're going to want to refer back to this. I've got to make the choice every day. Again, we make the choice. It is our choice, and we have to make it every single day. You're saying, wait a minute, I have so many things I have to do on a daily basis. I've got to do laundry, and I've got to walk dogs, and I've got to mow grass, and I've got to buy groceries, and I've got to change. I have so many daily responsibilities. I like having all of my spiritual responsibilities contained in just one day of the week. I just have to mess with that on Sunday, and I don't have to think about that any other day of the week. Wrong. No, you'd do better letting the grass keep growing and make the spiritual decision first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. Put God first every day of your life. Make the choice every day to serve the Lord in your life. I feel God's presence in this room today because I have a feeling that someone is grabbing a hold of this and realizing, wait a minute, you mean I can make this choice not just Sunday, but I can make this choice on Monday. I can make this choice on Tuesday. I can make it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Make the choice every single day. You know why? Because stuff is going to keep happening. And that's why a daily choice matters. Because my attitude will not take care of itself. It just won't. I have to take responsibility for it. They say that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how I respond to it. Here's what Hebrews says, chapter 12 and verse 1, let us throw off everything. Again, this is not just a one-time decision prayer. This is not just a one Sunday in the altar when I was 8 years old. No, it is a daily thing. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. I don't know about you, but how many have had to repent since you prayed that prayer of repentance that Jesus would save your life? Anyone? 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 I'm the only one with my hand up. Oh, there's a few of you that have had to repent. How many have already had to repent today? 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 Thank you. I appreciate some honest people in this house. Mostly husbands had their hands up, but it's a daily thing. Why? Because things keep happening. People keep ticking me off. Dr. Cho, over in Korea, probably the largest church in the world, hundreds of thousands of people go to their prayer meetings all throughout the week. And I thought the prayer that he prayed was pretty powerful. He said, God, I don't know if that's a Japanese accent or not, Korea. God, I need you to help me every day because I hate so many people every day. We have to make the choice every single day. Here's another prayer I heard someone pray. Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, cursed, or eaten too much chocolate. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a few minutes and I'll need a lot of help after that. Make the choice every day. Here's a prayer you absolutely can pray every day. Psalm 19 and 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There's something about doing this first thing in the morning. There's something about doing this on your way to the office. There's something about doing this while you're in traffic. Lord, I'm beginning my day with it because I don't want to end my day with prayer. Then I feel like I'm just repenting and lamenting and regretting so many things that happened. But here, Lord, I want to make this choice first thing today so that you can help me all day long. It doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. I probably will fumble the ball and trip up and mess up, but I'm going to make the choice right now to start my day. I'm going to do my best to have a good attitude. Then when those things begin to happen in our lives, we feel that check. Wait a minute, I prayed about this today. I believed at the beginning of my day that this kind of thing was not going to rattle me or get the best of me. This was not going to affect me. I think what I'm going to do is just readjust my attitude, and I'm going to continue on making this a great day in my life. Number two, write this down. Develop a high appreciation for life. This one, maybe this one's easier for you. Maybe this one's tougher for you, but I think it should become our life philosophy. You know why? Because gratitude changes attitude. Develop a high appreciation for life. I am so glad to be alive. I am so glad to be breathing. Someone asked me this morning how old I was, and that got us into a conversation. They were just a couple of 3 years older than I am, and I said, are we middle age? Is that where we are? We were having a discussion about middle age, and someone asked them recently, aren't you nervous about getting to 50? And they said, no, not at all, because if I get to 50, that means I got to 50. I'm still alive. This is a good thing. Why? Because I have a high appreciation for life. Listen, if we hate this life, what is the alternative? Think about that. You're not coming back as a dog. Probably a cockroach. Y'all have those here. Ugh. What is the alternative? No, I've got to take this life and make it count. I might as well enjoy it. I might as well value it. I might as well appreciate it. I might as well get excited about living. Wait a minute, I've got this ache and this pain and this hurts and that hurt and this isn't working good. This doesn't move. I've got all of these things happening. I know, but guess what? Whatever I've listed out of things that are not 100%, of things that are not perfect, guess what? It could be worse. Develop a high appreciation for life. I'm trying to help your new year. Again, Paul counseling us, 2 Corinthians 6 and 10, he said, sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. That's how you have a high appreciation for life. You've got your reality. You've got what is, but you also have how you respond to it, your attitude toward it, what you're going to do about it, how you are going to react to it. Number three, this is a tough one. Write this down. Find something positive in everything. Find something positive in everything. Literally, sometimes you have to go and find it. Got to find what is positive. Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If it's possible to find a silver lining, if it's possible to find some good aspect, if it's possible to find some positive thing about whatever it is that you're facing, then find that and think about that. Be grateful for that. Be excited about that. Get high on that. Find something positive about everything. And let me just add this, especially with people. Because there are plenty of opportunities to be an un. Plenty of opportunity to have the wrong attitude. But if I choose fresh air, I'm finding something positive in everything. Number four, this is the final one. You can write this down. These are things that will help us have a better attitude as we launch into this new year. Turn everything over to God. Turn everything over to God. Look at somebody and say, does he mean everything? Everything. This is what fresh air people do. This is what spiritual people do. This is what God-anointed, spirit-filled people do. We turn everything over to God. Does that mean we spiritualize everything? Had a lady tell me one time, she was serious as could be. She had a great job. She quit her job because she said that God told her to. And it was an odd situation. But she said to me one time, she said, God tells me what to wear every single day. God tells me what clothes to put on every day. And I said, listen, I've heard a lot of what you said, and I've tried to expand my mind, and I've tried to go with that, but this is where it stops. God did not tell you what to wear today. Oh, yes, he did. She was offended. Oh, yes, God told me to. I said, no, God didn't know. What are you talking? I said, you don't match. It's a true story. You don't match. There is no way that God told you to put that outfit on because it is terrible. You don't have to spiritualize everything. You don't have to turn everything into a prophecy. Turn everything into a word from the Lord. But you can turn everything over to God. Something's not going your way, turn it over to God. Something's not happening right, working right, turn it over to God. The job is acting funny. Lord, this is your job. This is the way that you have chosen to provide for me and my avenue of provision. I'm turning this over to you, because the reality is you're still going to face really bad days. You're still going to face challenging times. And I have to learn to trust God in every single area of my life. Philippians 4 said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know why? Because it can't be God's problem and my problem at the same time. We can't both carry it. If I cast my care on him, the Bible said he cares for me. And if I trust him, if I depend on him, if I rely on him, if I give it to him, don't you know that the God who has a perfect reputation of never failing or faltering, don't you know that when I partner with him, don't you know that when I go into spiritual business with him, he cannot let me fail. He cannot let me fall. He cannot let my world collapse around my feet, because I'm not going to be the the reason that he fails the first time. Listen, God is not about to fail. Your year is not about to fall apart. Why? Because you've turned everything over to him. You're trusting him. You're depending on him. You're standing on his promises. And this is what happens if you aren't anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, you give your request to God. He said, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what will happen if I'll turn it over to God. Then he trades my care. He trades my anxiety. He trades my difficulty, my challenge. He trades that for his peace. Says, you know what? Give me the problem. I'll deal with that, and I'm going to give you my peace. Give me the financial situation. I'm going to give you my peace. Give me the relationship. I'm going to give you my peace. Give me the sickness and the ill health. I'm going to give you my peace. Stop trying to trust in everything else and depend upon Jesus. What kind of attitude am I going to have in 2018? Can I just suggest this morning? Can I just challenge you today? To have a Christ-like attitude. To have an attitude that says, you know what? Challenges on every side. Difficulties everywhere. But you know what? I'm trusting God. I'm depending on the Lord. I'm giving it over to him. There's people in this room today, I feel so strong in my spirit and have, as I've prepared this week, people would be here that are just under heavy weight. Your shoulders are slumped and sagging. You're just under the weight of worry and anxiety. And kazooing in the new year and saying Happy New Year to 500 people already. By the 14th day of January, it just hasn't resolved the weight that you're carrying. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to him. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend on you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed right now. I want to give people an opportunity in this house today to turn your life over to God. Maybe you've been in charge of your life and you have been determining the outcomes and you've found out that you're not as good at managing as you thought. You need some help. Not interested in living life the same way, doing the same things, but I need the Lord to work. I need him driving this ship. I need his fresh air blowing. That's you in this house. You're ready to say yes to Jesus. You're ready to give it to him and put your dependence in him. How's that going to work? He's going to give you the tools. He's going to equip you. He's going to put the right people in your life to help you navigate and make right decisions. If that's you today, just put your hand up. It's just you, you and God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Several, thank you, yes, yes, today I've got to make a choice. Thank you, you can put those hands down. Literally a dozen hands across this room today. People that are ready to say, you know what, I want Jesus to be in charge of my life. You can use my words if you want today. You can pray your own words. But tell him, say, Jesus, I need you to be Lord of my life. I need you to be in charge. I need you to be in control. I need you to help me make the right choices. I don't want to do this by myself. I want you to come into my heart, lead my life, make the difference. Not just today, not for the next moment, not until the sun goes down, but every single day of my life. And when I wake up tomorrow morning, if I have to set an alarm on my phone, a reminder to pop up on my screen, I'm going to make the choice again tomorrow. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Can we give God praise today for people?